content shared in this podcast is for informational and entertainment purposes only. The views expressed by the hosts and guests are their own and do not represent affiliated organizations. While we strive to ensure the information is accurate, we make no guarantees. Listener discretion is advised.
Ever get that feeling, you know, that feeling where it's like you walked in halfway through a movie? That's DOS bikes for me. One minute they're everywhere, promising like this whole e-bike revolution. The next, poof, vanish.
Yeah, it's a real head scratcher.
So buckle up, because today we're going to try to rewind that film, get the full story on DOS bikes, from those shiny beginnings to the crash, and what it all means for, well, everyone hopping on an e-bike these days.
And it was a fast film. I mean, we're talking founded in 2019, bankrupt by late 2023, receivership done this past July. DOS didn't hang around, that's for sure.
Which is why we're doing this deep dive, right? We've got a stack of articles here, forum threads, even some legal filings. People want to know how a company that seemed to have it figured out went wrong so quickly.
Well, and they did have a lot going for them early on. I mean, you got to hand it to DOS. They were smart. They saw that gap in the market between those super expensive e-bikes.
Right, the ones that cost as much as a used car.
Exactly. And then those, like, kind of clunky budget ones.
Yeah.
DOS was aiming for that sweet spot, something that felt, I don't know, more premium, but without the premium price tag.
Okay, so they understood people wanted more than just, like, a basic ride. And you can see that in their models, too. The drop, the cope, it was all about versatility. Commuting during the week, hitting the trails on the weekend. They really tapped into that desire for an e-bike that could, you know, do it all.
And their marketing. Oh, so good. Remember that 120 miles on a single charge thing they were pushing? Game changer back then.
Oh, totally. Most e-bikes were struggling to hit, what, like half that? Range anxiety was a real thing.
Still is for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
But DOS, they really leaned into that. And not just with marketing. Those 750 watt motors they had, nobody else was really doing that at the time. Most e-bikes had much weaker motors. So when you hopped on a DOS, you felt the difference.
No wonder they had pre-orders through the roof. People were practically lining up. Okay, so you've got this perfect recipe for buzz, right? But, as we know, buzz can go bad really fast if you can't back it up. And that, well, that's where the DOS story takes a bit of a, should we say, a dramatic turn?
Yeah, dramatic turn might be putting it mildly.
Okay, so I'm starting to see these forum posts pop up online. People are, let's just say they're not happy. They ordered their bikes months ago, and they're still waiting. Remember those supply chain issues everyone was dealing with? What was it, 2020, 2021?
Oh, yeah.
DOS got hit hard.
Harder than most, I think. And it's one thing to have delays, right? That was happening everywhere. But it was how DOS handled it, or rather, didn't handle it.
Yeah.
That really made things worse. Mm. Think about it. You prepay, in some cases, almost $5,000 for a bike in 2022, and you're still waiting a year later. That's a problem.
Huge problem. And it wasn't just the delays, was it? We've got to talk about the quality control issues, because that's when things went from bad to, well, worse.
Yeah. Suddenly, it's not just about waiting. It's about getting a product that doesn't even work as promised. Faulty batteries, busted displays, motors dying way too soon. It was like every other week there was a new issue popping up.
And all those people who were so excited, who had waited so patiently, they were understandably furious.
Rightfully so. And that exposed this other problem, the deeper issue for DOS. They had scaled way too fast. Online sales, outsourcing the manufacturing, all that focus on growth meant they never really built up the infrastructure to actually support those customers.
So that amazing 2-year warranty they offered.
Yeah, not so amazing when you realize there's like nobody who can actually fix the bikes.
Right. Finding a service center was like finding a unicorn. It was all just, I don't know, a bit of a mess.
A complete mess. And in the age of social media, you know what happens next.
Oh, yeah. Word gets around. And remember how good DOS was at building that online community early on?
Back when everything was shiny and new.
Exactly. Well, that same community, they became, how do I put this, vocal.
Let's just say those hashtag DOS disaster hashtags were not an exaggeration.
Nope. People were sharing horror stories. Customer service nightmares, bikes arriving broken, refunds that never appeared. It was a PR disaster of epic proportions.
Total snowball effect. And while DOS was busy trying to put out all these fires, their competitors, well, they saw an opportunity.
Yeah, companies like Rad Power Bikes, they swooped right in.
Offering better service, more reliable products, and suddenly DOS's whole too-good-to-be-true image, well, it's starting to look pretty true.
It's like they were the hare, right? Racing ahead, so confident. But then they tripped, and the tortoise, those slow and steady competitors, they just cruised right on by. And it wasn't just a friendly competition, right? This is where things took a more serious turn.
Right, because by 2022, Dost wasn't just grappling with angry customers, they were facing legal action. People who felt misled about the product, those undelivered promises, some of them, understandably, resorted to lawsuits.
Yeah, those lawsuits alleging false advertising, especially about the battery range, were hard to ignore. It wasn't just bad for business, it tarnished their reputation even further. And speaking of tarnished reputations, let's talk about the environmental aspect of this whole saga. Dost initially positioned themselves as this eco-conscious alternative. But then those allegations about improper lithium-ion battery disposal emerged.
Yeah, that was a big one. I mean, they were all about sustainability in their marketing, right?
Huge part of their image. So to have those allegations come out, it felt like, I don't know.
Hypocritical.
Exactly. Like, were they just greenwashing this whole time?
Well, and the thing about those lithium-ion batteries, they're great for e-bikes, but disposal is a whole other issue.
Right. It's not like you can just toss them in the recycling bin.
Nope. Improper disposal, we're talking soil and water contamination,
sure.
Potential risks to human health. It's a serious issue that, honestly, I don't think Dost fully considered.
And it's something consumers are thinking about more and more. Like, what happens to this e-bike once it's reached the end of its life?
Exactly. And that's where, you know, Dost really missed the mark. They were so focused on the buy now, ride now message, they didn't seem to have a plan for the what happens later.
It's like they forgot about the whole sustainability part of their eco-friendly pitch.
It's a shame because they had this opportunity, right, to be a leader, not just in the e-bike market, but in responsible manufacturing and disposal.
Absolutely. But instead, they became a cautionary tale.
A classic case of, I think, moving too fast and breaking things. But those broken things weren't just bikes. They were trust, they were environmental standards, they were people's faith in a company that, at least initially, seemed to be doing things differently.
And that brings us to part three of this deep dive, where we're going to unpack those lasting lessons, because as much as Dost messed up, there's a lot we can learn from their missteps. Stick around. So let's talk about those lessons, because as frustrating as this whole Dost saga is, there's a lot we can learn from it. What do you think is the biggest takeaway here, especially for other startups, maybe even outside the e-bike world?
I think it boils down to this. You can't build a sustainable business on hype alone. Dost, they were so busy chasing the next big thing, the next sale, they forgot about the basics.
Which are?
Well, you gotta have a reliable product, right?
Yeah.
Something that actually works as advertised. And you need a way to support those customers when things inevitably go wrong. Dost's customer service, or lack thereof, was a disaster from start to finish.
Yeah. That's a reputation that's hard to shake once it's out there. People talk, especially online.
And we saw how quickly things can snowball in the age of social media.
Mm-hmm.
1 minute you're the darling of the e-bike world, the next you're trending for all the wrong reasons.
It's a cautionary tale for sure, but it's not like this is a new phenomenon, right? We see this in so many industries. Startups get caught up in the growth at all costs mentality, and they forget about the things that actually matter. Building a quality product, treating their customers right.
It's like they skipped a few crucial steps, thinking they could just figure it out later.
Mm-hmm.
But later never came for Dost, did it?
Nope. And I think that's a valuable lesson for everyone listening, whether you're an entrepreneur, an investor, or just someone who loves e-bikes like me.
It's about doing your due diligence, right?
Yeah.
Don't get blinded by the hype, no matter how shiny and new something seems.
Ask the tough questions. Read the reviews, look beyond the marketing, and think about the bigger picture.
Exactly. Because at the end of the day, we all have a role to play in supporting businesses that are doing things the right way.
And hopefully learning from the mistakes of those that didn't. So as we wrap up this deep dive into the wild world of Dost bikes, I want to leave you with this. Don't be afraid to ask those tough questions. Do your research and support businesses that align with your values. Because the choices we make as consumers, they have an impact.
They absolutely do. And who knows, maybe the next time we do one of these deep dives, it'll be about a company that learned from Dost's mistakes and is doing things differently. A company that's building something sustainable, something ethical, something that we can all feel good about supporting.
Now that's a story I'd love to tell. Thanks for listening.
The Rise and Fall podcast is a production of Mile House Media. It is available on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, and other major podcast platforms.